We're glad you tuned in today to our travel article because it's one of our favorite features. People say we love travel articles. And we have a nice surprise for you today. We have some people who are living in Europe now. Isn't that great, Albert, to have guests from Europe?
It is. It's such a special treat.
You know, we have actually had Gordon Jump from England with us, but he went back to England. But
we will miss him.
We have very special people because this couple used to be studio classroom teachers. Can you imagine that? How many years ago?
25.
25? Oh, my goodness.
Welcome
so
back.
Let's welcome them back to our advanced class, Ted and Dawn Siemens. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Thank
good
you.
To have you back. Ted, you're still working in radio work.
I still am working in radio work. I work for Transworld Radio, and I live in the city of Vienna, Austria.
Oh, Vienna, Austria. What a wonderful place. And Dawn, do you like Vienna?
I do like it. We lived in Holland before we moved to Vienna, so it took a little getting used to moving from a countryside area. We weren't in Amsterdam, but we moved from the country into Vienna, and it's a city, but a beautiful city.
Beautiful city, and actually, there's so many beautiful places to visit in this world. This is why we like to have our window on the world, so we see other places. Now, Asia is also very interesting, and many people come here, but we also like to introduce the other places, don't we?
Yeah, I really enjoy our travel articles. You know, it's full of great photos that make me want to buy a plane ticket and travel there.
But you have to wait till we get finished with the program.
Oh.
Can't go first. But Ted and Dawn, it's so nice to have you back with us. And you're really great radio people, and you meet radio people all over the world. You've worked with training people in radio in Europe, haven't you?
This is right. My current role is being a media training coordinator for our Europe region of Transworld Radio, and so it involves going to many of the countries that we'll be talking about.
So it's really an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you
for being here. And Dawn, you do a lot of speaking and training to women's groups all over Europe, don't you?
I do, and I also have had the possibility and the opportunity to go to places in different parts of Europe and even Central Eastern Europe as well as Western Europe.
That's why I thought it would be so great to have you on this program. So thanks for coming. And this is a two-day program, so you've got to be here for 2 days.
Okay? Wow, we have to come back.
That's right. And today we're going to start on page 18. So I hope you all have your September magazine with you. And we're going to talk about 6 little-known European destinations. But before we talk about the first paragraph, let's just read the first part as an introduction, and then we'll discuss it together.
Six little-known European destinations. Amazing locations you may never have heard of. Everyone's heard of Europe's major tourist destinations, and rightly so. After all, Amsterdam, Berlin, Paris, and Rome are all famous for a reason. But there are still numerous cities and regions that aren't even mentioned on typical European to-do lists. The following destinations offer a perfect reason to step slightly off the beaten track.
So today we're going to start by talking about stopping off the beaten track. Who would like to explain that a little bit?
Well, I think that means that you're going somewhere that's not so familiar, somewhere that's a little bit different than where everybody goes.
That's true. You know, usually if you follow a path and everybody goes on it, it's well beaten path. But if you go where nobody knows, you're going to different places. And if you go to most tourist places they want to take you to Paris, and it's true, in London, you should do that. But these are little-known places, and you have to find some travel agent to book you to these places. Isn't that right, Dawn?
That's right. It would be it would take just a little more work to find out how to go to these places.
Well, you know, you might not know about them, so I thought this would introduce them to people, because these are amazing locations, and probably most of us have not heard of them. What do you think, Albert?
I'm excited about it because usually when you have these off-the-beaten-track places, you know, it's like you experience something that maybe some of your friends haven't.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You can go to someplace different. It's kind of interesting. And, of course, everybody does know the major tourist destinations. But, you know, like Amsterdam, you when you lived in Holland, a lot of people go to Amsterdam, don't they?
That's right.
And it's a nice, interesting place.
That's there are right. many fun things to see and do there.
Yeah, and Rome, all these places, they're all interesting. Mm-hmm. You should go there. But sometimes you might want to go off the beaten track or take a side trip someplace. What do you think?
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
a side trip would be, is a great way to just add variety to
right.
what you're doing.
I don't think you can just go on all of them at one time, but maybe you're going over to Europe and you say, oh, I think I'll take a side trip to one of these places. What do you think?
Well, a nice thing is, if you come to Vienna, many other European cities are close by. So you can go to Bratislava, only an hour away, or Budapest, Hungary, 3 hours away. Prague's only 4.
That sounds like an ad for Vienna. But that's true. It's a very, very interesting place. I've been there with Heavenly Melody Singers a few times, and it's just a great place. But we want to talk about some of these other places that are not quite so well known, that are off the beaten track. Now, you mentioned Austria because that's where Vienna is. And, of course, Vienna is the most well-known place. And what other place have you been to in Vienna?
Well,
Salzburg.
Yeah, we were in Salzburg.
We've been to Melk, Salzburg, Krems.
There's quite a places that are well known. Salzburg's mm-hmm. well known for music and students study there and so forth. But I think some of you have been to Innsbruck. I went through Innsbruck when we were driving from Germany to go to Vienna, and we drove through there. It's a very interesting place. But a lot of people have not been to Innsbruck. And it's just when you leave Germany and start to go into Austria, you go to Innsbruck first. And we do have a little map here. If you can look at it closely, you'll see where all these places are. So when we jump around from one country to another, check your map and see where we are. See if you can find it on your map. So let's read about Innsbruck first and find out what we should do if you happen to go there.
Innsbruck, Austria. Buried at the foot of the towering Alps, the Austrian city of Innsbruck offers guests a chance to appreciate a blend of old and new. The old town dates back over 800 years and provides a glimpse at medieval life in the region, while the modern home of the giant, a massive hub of arts, entertainment, and shopping, is the largest of its kind in the world. Within the center is the stunning Swarovski crystal cloud, which hovers over a captivating mirror pool and is made from 800,000 sparkling crystals. During winter months, tourists can partake in various alpine activities: skiing, tobogganing, snowboarding, and many other sports are offered on the nearby slopes. During the summer, the area provides a perfect site for rock climbing, hiking, and bike riding. Nature lovers can visit the Alpine Zoo, while history buffs can get lost in the many museums and galleries the town has to offer.
Okay, that was the reading for that first part of the article. It's on page 18, and we're talking about Innsbruck. Now, you see a little picture here right next to that that shows the old town, and it says here that this place is kind of buried in the mountains, the towering Alps. And if you look at the picture, you can see in the background those high mountains covered with snow. Those are the Alps.
And it's fun to drive in that area, and you see snow-capped mountains even in summertime.
I know. Isn't it beautiful? They have beautiful mountains there. And they call them the Alps. That's what they call them. And this city of Innsbruck does offer a lot of things that you can appreciate old and new. So how old is the town, did it say?
It dates back to over 800 years ago.
Right. And what can you find out when you go to that town?
It provides a glimpse of, you know, medieval life, you know, where you think of knights and chivalry and princesses and maybe dragons, maybe not.
Okay, so that's kind of the old, mm-hmm. but then they're talking about something that's modern. What's the modern thing they're talking about, Don?
Arts and entertainment and shopping.
Oh, boy. Home of the Giant. I've not heard of that place, but I think it's fairly new, actually. It's not old. But what do they have in that place called the Home of the Giant?
Well, they have it's a place where you can enjoy the arts. There's entertainment, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of shopping.
Probably movie theaters and there's
movie theaters for the entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Did you find out anything about that? I couldn't find much about it, but...
No, but there is a massive hub of art, so, you know, there is a place, a central place where people where, you know, you can find most activity at.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds good, you know. And it says, within the center is the stunning Swarovski crystal cloud, which hovers over this captivating mirror pool and so forth. Now, that sounds really expensive, for one thing, because everybody knows if you use that Swarovski jewelry, they have, you know, earrings and rings, and you see them in all of the, when you go traveling down at the airport, they have all those shops, and they have them in Hong Kong and all the big cities. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
So it's crystal, and that's kind of expensive. But what about this crystal cloud? Mm. What do you think that's like? Have you got any idea?
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but the picture there looks quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know exactly what it is either, but I did look it up on the web, and I saw a picture of something that's supposed to be like a, looks like a big mountain with eyes in it, like a giant that are made out of crystals, and then there's a water coming out of the mouth. I don't know. Check it out, because it must be quite exciting.
Can you imagine, though, a mirror pool that's made from 800,000 sparkling crystals?
Wow. I wonder how they keep people from stealing them.
Yeah.
How did they ever come up with the idea?
Kind of a waste of crystals. I guess it's pretty, but, you know, 800,000.
Well, whenever I walk past that kind of a store with the Swarovski crystals, it's... It catches my eye.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
It just sparkles and sparkles. So.
And you look at the price tag and you walk right on by. Right. You don't go in there. Isn't that right, Ted?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. but that is a very famous crystal. And and it tells us about that place because it's really known all over the world for their crystals. So they have to kind of, you could say, show off the crystals because that's where they're from. So we didn't realize when we saw that where they're from. So next time you see those stores, say, oh, Innsbruck. Yeah, you can kind of put a place on where it is.
They do a lot of that glass blowing and then working with crystals and things like that in some of those mountain areas in Austria and Switzerland.
That's true. And in Vienna they do too, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They do a lot of that type of thing. And then, of course, if you go there in the winter... which would be a little bit cold for those of us from southern part of Asia. But you could do a lot of things. What could you do there, Ted, if you went there in the winter? What would you do in Innsbruck?
Well, it talks about partaking in various alpine activities, such as skiing, tobogganing, snowboarding, and all sorts of other sports.
Wow. Winter activities. Albert, what kind of winter activities do you enjoy?
I really enjoy snowboarding.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a really fun sport.
Where did you do that, Albert? You're from California. They don't do that in California.
We actually do. We have a mountain called Big Bear.
Oh, yes.
And it snows a few months. And, you know, snowboarding is labeled as cool. And, you know, I do kind of feel cool when I'm snowboarding. Namely,
it's cool because it's cold.
Exactly.
But, you know, skiing and stuff is fun, too. There's a lot of winter sports. So, but then they do other sports in the summer. What do they do in the summer?
Well, they do rock climbing and hiking and bike riding. They are definitely bike riders there.
All the people, it seems like, in Europe do bike riding.
They love it.
I don't know about rock climbing. I know a lot of people do it. It's a good sport. But I could never see why anybody wants to cling to a rocky wall and you might fall off and climb it. I don't know. That seems, it's not like fun, like going down in a sled or something like that. What do you think?
Well, I think I would try some of the hiking. Some of my friends have done that in the Alps, and they find it very, it's relaxing, and also you can see a lot from the tops of the mountains.
And from what I know from Innsbruck, I think what I would really love is being on the lake and on a boat And just laying on the boat and looking up at those grand mountains, you know,
wouldn't
the Alps.
Be beautiful? Right.
It just seems to me that would be just the best way to relax.
Well, and when you're biking or hiking, you know, you can hear the birds and you can look at the trees and stuff. When you're climbing a rock, you just got it from one rock to another. That's kind of spooky to me. But some people like it, I guess.
Well, and it tests your energy and, your skill.
Right, your bike tests your energy. But anyway, to each his own, we say, right?
Right.
Some people like that. But they do hiking and bike riding, and nature lovers, and usually people who go to over to Vienna and to Innsbruck and these places. They love nature. That's why they go there. What else can they see when they're there then?
And there's the Alpine Zoo as well.
Yeah, the and Alpine
then,
Zoo. Huh?
That's right.
Now, Alpine has to do with the mountains, mm-hmm. the Alpines.
The name for the zoo, because it's this place is surrounded by the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
So we call it the Alpine Zoo. And many museums, it looks like. We could get lost in a museum if we're into walking through museums. And
right. Well, what do you think is special about that zoo? Did you read anything about that?
A little bit about how the only animals in the zoo is all local in the Alps.
Right. It says that in the Alpine Zoo, they're not very far away, and it has a species of about 100 different kinds of animals. I found that out. And it said that most of them are just in like a natural environment, so the kids like to go there and they can play with the small animals like the pigs and the sheep. There's a lot of sheep and goats and ducks and chickens and cows. But one thing about that zoo is they don't have things that like are from Africa, like elephants and stuff. They just have the things that are natural to that area. So that's why they call it the Alpine Zoo, because they only have animals that are native there. So that's kind of unusual.
It is, because in Vienna we have panda bears.
So. Well, they're not very natural over there.
Not very
that's
natural
true.
To Austria.
Right. But history buffs, they can get lost in these museums. And what is a buff, anyway? That's kind of an interesting term. I think some of you know it.
A buff is a person who knows a lot about and is very interested in a particular subject. So a history buff is really interested in history or knows a lot about it. So
somebody who's crazy about it, who really loves it and stuff like that. Right?
Right, so museums would be a natural place for them to go to.
Or there might be an antique car buff, someone who really likes antique cars.
Some studio classroom buff who collects all of our old books. Who knows?
Oh, yes.
I met one in Europe once. He had all of our old books.
Wow.
It's kind of fun. But buffs are people who really enjoy something a lot. And you might, you know, go around, say get lost in the museums. You don't really get lost, but, you know, you just forget the time and where you are because they're so interesting.
It means there's so much to see, and in that time you could forget, you could lose track of time.
That's right. So you're lost in it, right? You're not really lost. You can find the door when you want
right.
to go out.
You can get it, hopefully.
That's the trouble with English, you know. They have these little ways of saying things. That's why in advance we kind of have to point it out so you know. But I think that's a great place. But we've got one more place that we have to go to today. So we want to go to one more place. Let's go over to Estonia. Let's read about it first.
Two. Tallinn, Estonia. Located in Estonia and rarely featured as a must-see destination, Tallinn, nonetheless, offers a fascinating chance to relive history in one of Europe's lesser-visited nations. A vibrant city that frequently hosts festivals of various genres, Tallinn is home to the expansive Kumu Art Museum, which houses both classic and contemporary pieces, and the open-air museum, a recreated historic village complete with staff in period costumes. To cap off the Estonian experience, visitors should listen for the haunting sounds of the organ from one of the many churches around the city.
Now look at page 18. I hope you have your magazine. And you see where we were down there. You'll find it there in Innsbruck. And then start to go north. Go to the top of the page. And you go up there. Before you get up to Finland, just follow your way up there through Poland and all these other countries. And you finally get up to the north to Estonia. So Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania, those three little countries, are not very well known by people, are they? They're not too well known. I don't think too many people go there, do you?
I don't. I've been to Latvia and Lithuania, but I've never been to Estonia.
But you've been to those other two, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, what are they like?
Well, there are a lot of old buildings, like it said, cathedrals, some old churches.
Didn't they used to be under Russia before?
They were, mm-hmm. Yes. So I think during that time, things stayed a little more gray in color.
Not like Vienna.
Yeah.
Right.
More recently, you see more color on the buildings and on the clothing.
So if you look at here, and I hope you're all looking at the map, it's just below Finland there. You'll see this place, Colin. And it says that it's one of those rarely featured. Most people don't say, I'm going to Estonia. They say, where? What's mm-hmm. that? You know? They call it a must-see destination. Now, the author thinks it's a must-see. When I look at all these places, I'm not sure I would call that a must-see, but I could say it's probably interesting. What would you think, Don? Is it a must-see?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know that it would be the first place on my list or the 10th place on my list, but I was just thinking about how it's so close to Finland,
right.
And I did have a conversation with someone one time who is from Finland, and he talked about having traveled to Finland or to Estonia many times,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming that, you know, that might be a place that some of the other people from the area from Europe might travel to, but I don't know if someone from the U.S. or someone from
Asia,
from Taiwan or somewhere would actually go and travel to this place.
Unless for some reason you were up in that north, and maybe you're in Finland anyway,
yeah.
And you
yeah.
could take kind of a side trip. So if you're in that area, I think it'd be must-see, but I wouldn't go, you know, all the mm-hmm. way from Hong Kong or Taiwan to get there particularly. But they say that it is interesting. So what is so fascinating about it? What do they say?
Well, it's located there in Estonia, and it features a lot of fascinating places where you can relive history in one of Europe's lesser visited nations.
Okay, and because people don't visit it so much, it's probably kept its more regular, natural, you know, way it was instead of being changed too much by tourists. Maybe that's it.
They don't see as many tourists, and therefore
right.
They can carry on in their own ways a little more frequently.
That's true. They do have an art museum, don't they?
They do have an art museum. And, you know, the more we talk about this, the more it sounds appealing to me. Hey, it's like if you go to a well-known place, it's sometimes over-commercialized.
Right.
Versus here, it's like, hey, they kept their heritage, and it's just charming, really.
And maybe it wouldn't be as crowded either.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm thinking. That's kind of nice. I'm not real big on being
I
in
know.
An area where there's a lot of people.
Don't go to Hawaii in the tourist
right.
season.
Right.
Okay. Well, but it does say here, too, that they house both classic and contemporary pieces. So they do have modern art. But what I thought might be more interesting to me would be the open-air museum. That's kind of different. What is that like?
Well, we had an open-air museum in the Netherlands where we lived, and there they had people that would show how they did things on the farm. And there would be a blacksmith that would, you know, make the wagon wheels and different things like that. And
that would be more interesting to me, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all dressed up in costume, and that was really neat. You know, the baker would be making the bread.
Well, see, the costumes, like it says here in line 10, it says they have staff in period costumes. So period means according to that period of history.
That's right.
And they do that in the South in the United States. They dress up like they used to mm-hmm. a long time ago. And that's kind of more interesting, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I was not too long ago, I was at a Laura Ingalls Wilder, Little House on the Prairie kind of a show.
In
America. And the people were all dressed up in costume. It was just really fun to see them act it out.
Right. I mean, like, I only recently discovered open-air museums, and it's like traveling back in time. You get a ticket, and you go back in time, and you read. It's one thing to read about it. It's another to see pictures, but to be there in the moment and see people act it out.
You feel like you're there, right?
Yeah,
instead
exactly.
of just going through a museum. I don't just like to walk through a museum and look at pictures, but this would be more interesting to
mm-hmm.
me. What
interactive,
do you think,
too.
Sure, because you're not just looking at something on a shelf. You're seeing people in activity.
Right. Maybe you could ride in a buggy, a horse and buggy.
Right.
And of course, in Asia, we said you can ride in the old rickshaws and pedicabs and buffalo carts, that's right. But, you know, it gives you that feeling more, doesn't it? But also, it says here in line 10, to cap off this experience, to cap something off is an interesting phrase.
It means to finish, or at the end of our experience. To finish off, we're going to, a visitor should listen for the haunting sounds of the organ from one of the many churches around the city.
Now, you find that, you know, and you go to places in Germany and Austria, they have big organs, and you can hear them playing certain times. Well, even in England, certain parts of the town. So this is common in Europe, but you're listening for the haunting sounds. Now, haunting, you think of ghosts and things like that. It doesn't mean that kind of haunting. What does it mean?
I'm not sure, but
appealing, kind of.
Yeah. There's an interest in how the architecture of the cathedral, along with the pipes of the organ as an instrument, it makes a beautiful sound, and no matter where you stand in the church, it sounds good.
Yeah, I would call it, you know, exciting or thrilling or something.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want to say haunting, but that's what it means. Yeah.
Well, I feel like maybe it's in a way it produces a sound like no other, and it just touches you in a way.
It just touches you and you remember it.
Yeah, so it's haunting and leaves you with a really deep impression. And
well,
it really...
That's true. But to cap it off, these are two places, and we're going to use that expression to cap it off because it's time for us to cap off the program for today. But we know that a lot of you like to go to places that are off the beaten track, so we're going to find out more places tomorrow. This is just the beginning, so don't forget to come back. And we hope that you'll be back tomorrow at the same time, the same place, and the same teachers. So we'll be here for you then. We'll say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.